In his diary, Herzl wrote some of the most prescient and fascinating words in modern Jewish history. Quote, "If I had to sum up the Basel Congress in one word, which I shall not do openly, it would be this. At Basel, I founded the Jewish state. If I were to say this today, I would be greeted by universal laughter. In 5 years, perhaps, and certainly in 50, everyone will see it." Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 162, Basel. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. When one thinks of European cities central to Jewish history, it is not Basel that first and foremost comes to mind. Though Jews have lived in Basel at various points throughout the centuries, the city was not known for a massive and influential Jewish community. Religiously, we cannot say that it could claim the most important rabbis, poets, thinkers, or philosophers in the story of halakha, Kabbalah, or theology. And yet, as far as Jewish politics are concerned, we can well say that Basel hosted one of the most important political meetings of Jews in the history of the Jewish diaspora. For it was in Basel in August of 1897, in of all places a casino, that the Zionist Congress met for the first time. Organized, and to a large part paid for by Theodor Herzl, it brought together streams of Zionist movements from across Europe, providing a political forum for a united movement. Through it, Basel would become an essential part of the miraculous story that is Jewish history itself. Essential to understanding Herzl's success was, as strange as this may sound, his sense of formality and style. Today we associate Israel with informality, but it was the very opposite of informality that Herzl sought in Basel. Herzl understood that for Zionist hopes and dreams to acquire reality, for it to be taken seriously by both Jews of Europe and by European statesmen, the movement had to embody a formal sophistication. Therefore, invitations to the Congress were sent out on special stationery to those who would serve as delegates or attendees, and official embossed tickets of entry were granted. After the opening ceremony, several days of speeches unfolded. Here in my description, I'm indebted to the historian Alan Arkush for his excellent summation of the Congress. Herzl's address emphasized that his movement would serve to strengthen Jewish identity for Jews in the West, while seeking to help those Jews in the East with a strong Jewish identity facing persecution. Herzl said, quote, "Zionism means a returning home to Jewish identity before the return to the country of the Jews. We sons who have returned home find many things in the ancestral home that cry out for improvement. In particular, we have brothers steeped in misery. Yet, we have been welcomed in the ancient house because, as is known to all, we do not presume the right to subvert cherished institutions. This will become plain with the development of the Zionist program." End quote. The talk received a large ovation, and, perhaps even more impactful, was the address delivered right after by Max Nordau, who spoke of how Jews in Western Europe would never find an embrace as absolute equals. As Nordau put it, quote, "The Jew of the West has bread, but man does not live on bread alone. The Jew of the West is scarcely ever put in jeopardy of life and limb by mob hatred, but wounds of the flesh are not the only ones that cause pain and from which one may bleed to death." And Nordau added, "The resurgence of anti-Semitism in the lands of the Enlightenment had left the Western Jew feeling that the world is hostile toward him, and while seeking and yearning for emotional warmth, he sees no place in which to find it." End quote. This speech as well was greeted with acclaim, and when it was proposed that the two be published separately, Herzl protested that the official policy of the Congress was that all the speeches would be published together, and the Congress immediately voted to change the rules, to override Herzl, and to publish his and Nordau's speeches by themselves. Perhaps even more important than the speeches was the adoption of what became known as the Basel Program. This was the first united statement of Zionist aims. It read, quote, "Zionism seeks to secure for the Jewish people a publicly recognized, legally assured homeland in Palestine. For the attainment of this purpose, the Congress considers the following means serviceable. 1. The promotion of the settlement of Jewish agriculturists, artisans, and tradesmen in Palestine. 2. The federation of all Jews into local or general groups according to the laws of the various countries. 3. The strengthening of the Jewish feeling and consciousness. 4. Preparatory steps for the attainment of those governmental grants which are necessary to the achievement of the Zionist purpose. End quote. The most important part of the program was the opening, which stated explicitly that the goal of Zionism was to create a Jewish state in the Holy Land. This was important because when Herzl first wrote the Jewish state a year before, it was not obvious to him that the Jewish state would have to be in the Holy Land. One section of Der Judenstaat was titled Palestine or Argentine because Herzl was interested in working with Lord Rothschild to bring Jews to Argentina. This section read, quote, "Shall we choose Palestine or Argentine? We shall take what is given us and what is selected by Jewish public opinion. The society will determine both these points. Argentine is one of the most fertile countries in the world, extends over a vast area, has a sparse population and a mild climate. The Argentine Republic would derive considerable profit from the cession of a portion of its territory to us." And then Herzl a bit later added, reflecting on the Holy Land, quote, "Palestine is our ever-memorable historic home. The very name of Palestine would attract our people with a force of marvelous potency," end quote. Here, however, at the Congress, the Holy Land was emphasized as the goal. And, as we shall see in later episodes, the question of the centrality of the Holy Land in Jerusalem would come up soon in the future when the debate over the so-called Uganda Plan would take place. Herzl returned to his hotel room from the Congress overjoyed by what he had brought about. And even if you cannot feel exactly what he felt, you can stay where he stayed. Because whereas the Stadt Casino of Basel, where the Congress was held, no longer exists, the Hotel de Trois Rois still stands. And, according to the website of the hotel, you can stay in Herzl's room. The website tells us that it is called today the River Room Herzl. And the hotel informs us that, quote, "The River Room Herzl captivates its visitor with the unique charm of its decor and its history. For it was here that Theodor Herzl laid the foundation stone for the State of Israel during his stay in 1897. This simple yet fascinating junior room with a view over the Rhine has continued to bring inspiration and peace up to the present." End quote. In his diary, Herzl wrote some of the most prescient and fascinating words in modern Jewish history. Quote, "If I had to sum up the Basel Congress in one word, which I shall not do openly, it would be this. At Basel, I founded the Jewish state. If I were to say this today, I would be greeted by universal laughter. In 5 years, perhaps, and certainly in 50, everyone will see it." End quote. These incredible words deepen the miracle of what happened in Basel. And the miracle is connected to the issue that Herzl himself raised in the pamphlet, The Jewish State. What is this movement? What is Jewish nationalism? What does it seek to address? What does it seek to achieve? Is it a gathering of Jews that seeks a political response to anti-Semitism? It is surely that in part. But is it also a gathering that reflected the providential destiny of the Jewish people? Of course, the stated destination hinges on this question. If all the movement sought was a place of political refuge, then in theory any available land would do, at least temporarily. But if the Zionist movement sought the furtherance of the mysterious destiny of Jews and Judaism, then the Holy Land must be the goal. In an interesting article, Ari Zivitovsky takes note of the fact that the conclusion of Herzl's novel Altneuland, in which a group of Jews arrive in the land of Israel to find that a Jewish state has been reborn and gloriously rebuilt. The question is presented in the end of the novel, quote, "We see before us a new and a happier form of human society here. By what was it created?" End quote. Various answers to the question are put forward, including the new technology and knowledge. However, the last word is given to a rabbi, quote, "But the venerable Rabbi Shmuel rose and solemnly proclaimed God," end quote. As Zivitovsky notes, Herzl brings his novel to a close, quote, "with a rabbi attributing to God the coming to fruition of all that Herzl perceived as good," end quote. The miraculous story of Herzl and the impact of this story on the sacred city and the sacred land is only beginning in our podcast. And as we will see, what was born in Basel will next take Herzl to the locus of Jewish longing, for in 1897, Herzl could truly say, next year, in Jerusalem. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.